Napoleon as military genius. It's always struck me as being somewhat odd that someone who could have led his country to total defeat, somebody who destroyed his country as a great power, could be regarded as a military genius. It's always struck me as being very odd. And in fact, if you deconstruct Napoleon, you see a figure who is very problematic in a number of ways. Generalship can be split into four different levels. The most basic level is the personal. It's the relationship of the general with his soldiers. It's the ability to strike up a bond, to acquire the trust of one's soldiers. If you want a modern example, take General Montgomery in the Second World War. He would appear in his soldiers' desert encampments, wearing Monty's famous hat, and adorned with the cap badge of every regiment serving under him. Monty was brilliant at it, so was Napoleon. Napoleon did have this capacity to strike up a bond with his soldiers, to convince his soldiers that he was interested in each and every one of them, to convince his soldiers that he depended on each and every one of them. And so he would, the night before a battle, he would often wander around their campfires, talk to them, recognise old soldiers who had been with him in Egypt, or pretend that he recognised them. We don't quite know what happened. And the net result is a situation in which he's seen as a soldier's friend. And French soldiers are, by and large, devoted to him. And there's no doubt about that. And he was an extraordinarily brilliant man-manager. At that level, he was absolutely first rate. But that is not the only level of generalship. The next level up, as far as a general is concerned, it's what you might call the tactical, or the grand tactical. And that's what you do when you're in the presence of the enemy on the battlefield. And there, Napoleon has a distinctly patchy record. You have battles which he manages with extraordinary brilliance, like Austerlitz, for example. And you have battles which, frankly, he manages extremely badly, like Borodino. And it could be argued Waterloo. So there you have a sort of somewhat more patchy picture. The next level up is what you might call the operational. The tactical level, that's what you do on the battlefield in the presence of the enemy. The operational is about getting to the battlefield. It is, you know, we are invading northern Italy. How are we going to move our troops? Which division are we going to send where? What roads are we going to do? What are we trying to do to bring the Austrians or whoever it is to battle? At that level, he was beyond doubt a genius. An extraordinary genius. And over and over again, pulls off extraordinary feats. There's no doubt about that. And then finally, there is the strategic. This is what happens back in the council chamber in Paris. You know, it is, who are we going to go to war against next? What is our main aim going to be next year? What are we trying to achieve? And at that level, Napoleon was frankly catastrophic. He was an appalling strategist. He proved that over and over again. You can come up with a whole series of examples from his career where he just does things which are extraordinary in a very negative sense. The classic example, I suppose, is going to war with Russia in 1812. Completely unnecessary war, when he was already fighting a major war at the other end of the continent. He was a very, very poor strategist. And indeed, it is at least arguable that he actually had no strategy at all, that he was simply lashing out for the sake of lashing out. So you end up with a figure who is not the great genius of legend. He is a much more realistic figure. He's a general who is very good at some aspects of generalship and who's very bad at other aspects of generalship. But what I would always say to my students, just summing up, and this really sums up his character as well, what I'd always say to my students is that the great thing about fighting Napoleon was that you were fighting Napoleon. Over and over again, Napoleon is in a winning position and he overplays his hand. Classic example is beginning of 1808. Britain, quite frankly, was on the ropes. It's been argued that the beginning of 1808 was a far more serious point in Britain's history than 1940 ever was. And certainly Britain was on the verge of losing the war. And Napoleon really only had to sit on his hands and let it happen. But being Napoleon, he couldn't sit on his hands. And frankly, thank God for that.